I'm really excited to invite our next speaker to the stage. She's somebody that I know very, very well. She's a very positive human being. She has been a wonderful influence on my life. She's been a wonderful influence for my kids. When she is talking to people, when she's in a room, she very much lights it up. She has a very magnetic personality. And when I met her, I was really attracted to the fact that she has big, ambitious goals too. One of her goals was to rid the world of the electric grid, right? And I never noticed it. You notice all these power lines all over? Those don't have to be there. There's technology to overcome that kind of stuff, right? She's absolutely incredible. We're really excited to hear from her some really practical, tactical strategies when it comes to building intentional community. Give it up for Rebecca Bush, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, y'all. How's everyone doing? My name's Rebecca Bush. I am, I guess, in a sense, the co-producer of the Greater Reset here in Central Texas. I'm co-owner of Live Free Academy with my husband, John Bush, who I'm sure you all know by now. And I'm just so grateful to be here today, and I'm really excited to share with you about community. It's what I'm most passionate about. I know I just said, you know, the companies I work with now, but actually a year ago, like literally 1 year ago to this day, pretty much, I put in my 2 weeks notice. It was the week of the Greater Reset in 2022. I put in my 2 week notice and not really knowing how everything was going to pan out. You know, I was working full time as a sales and customer care manager at Village Farm Agrihood, a neighborhood around agriculture. You could say it was my dream job. I mean, I imagined that I would stick through to the end of that development. I had 170 tiny home lot locations surrounding a certified organic farm. There was an amphitheater, a general store, a bistro, all these cool things in the site plan. We really created some beautiful things together. And everyone thought I was crazy when I put my 2 week notice in, like, why would you leave? But, you know, the truth is, like, when, especially when the pandemic happened, there was this huge sense of urgency. Like, I needed to be doing this work. Like, I needed to get back to activism. I needed to get back to building community in a broader sense. And that's what I'm here to talk about today. So, vamanos. My talk is co-creating community in the 21st century. Yeah. And so you might ask yourself, like, well, what do you mean by that? Like, what does that look like? We are actually doing it right now. How, might you ask? Well, we're here. We're at the Greater Reset. We have amazing in-person attendance here in Central Texas. I'm sure Mexico had great turnout as well. And how cool is that, by the way, that we have two locations where we're putting events on? We're either crazy or we're crazy. Yes, we're definitely crazy. But you know what? Crazy people change the world. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to make a difference. We're here to come together. And we're doing it in person and we're doing it virtually. So that's what I think is so cool about this event. We've got the online elements, like no barrier to entry. Literally anybody can watch from the comfort of their own home. We've got activation hubs all over the world. People can come together with folks in their area, stream it, you know, have a really good time, eat some popcorn while they watch the presentations. And what I believe is even more magical is the in-person element, because raise your hand if you've made some great connections over the last 5 days. Right? Okay, I think every single hand is raised right now. I know I have, and I know that, you know, these events are what we need right now in order to connect, in order to build, and in order to create something so beautiful that it makes the existing model obsolete. So that is why we're all here. And here in person. And I was like really proud of myself for that cool little circle transition. So I didn't want to miss my moment there. But you know, before I get through to the rest of the slides, I just wanted to take a moment for a gratitude check, because like talk about co-creating community in the 21st century. Like we all came together in this room, whether you're an attendee, a VIP, a vendor, a sponsor. The volunteers, honestly, are the unsung heroes. Like, we have had such amazing support from our local community. We have had people working so tirelessly to help make this event come to life. And I just want to take a moment to thank everyone who's here, but also everyone who's volunteered. And like the way we organize is through this app called Telegram. So it's kind of funny how, you know, we just can send a message in a second. Oh, I need help at registration, or oh, we need help with this in the back. And, you know, there's always someone there to show up because we all just truly care about this cause, care about one another. And I included this image about gratitude and well-being because I think, you know, when it comes to being healthy and being happy, like when you have that inner gratitude where you just can feel your connection with others and you are like genuinely, like you have compersion, like you're happy when they're happy. And like, that's what I believe community is all about. It's about being there for others and in turn being there for yourself. And there's a huge sense of like felt self fulfillment when you're working alongside one another. And it's just, it's really special. And to me, I think, you know, intentional community, that's like at its core is coming together, connecting with others. So thank you everyone who's volunteered. Thank you everyone who has traveled so far to be here. And thank you everyone else. We are all just in this together, and it truly does take a village. So thank you for being here at the Greater Reset. So, you know, whatever it is you're really passionate about, like everyone has, I believe, unique gifts. Everyone is a genius in their own right. Like when I was helping out with the Agrihood, I saw just with my own eyes how cool it was to live in a village where everyone had something unique to bring to the table. Like the gardeners, the farmers, they all had a knowledge and a like just information to pass along to all the other residents who would come out of a volunteer and show up and want to learn. Like beekeeping, Bruce the beekeeper and James, like you can feel the enthusiasm ooze out of their bodies when they're talking about beekeeping. Like we all have something special that we're really passionate about. And I think it's good to reflect on what that is for you so that you can, you know, really show up strong for yourself, for your community, and pursue your highest, you know, purpose on this planet. So yeah, for me, I mean, I have asked myself this question like so many times, but I have been obsessed. Like when I say obsessed, I mean like it's probably an unhealthy obsession. Yeah. So, but Grant Cardone says be obsessed or be average. So I definitely don't want to be average. So I'm obsessed with intentional community. And I mean, there's a lot of probably things in my past that have led to this, but I'm going to touch on kind of just really tapping into your calling and like feeling what it is that like when you wake up in the morning, you're like excited because you want to go do that work, you know? So for me, I think a lot of it has to do with like how I was raised. So for the first 10 years of my life, I was traveling like every 2 or 3 years we were moving. And in between that traveling, going to different schools, I was a military brat, not as extreme as this meme, but I do feel that it, you know, everyone like talks about what it's like being a veteran and being in the military, but there's not a lot of whispers and talk about what it's like to be a family member of a parent who's in the military. So I'm grateful for these experiences because it actually, before I even knew what intentional community was, I was living it by growing up on military bases. Because when you abandon your family and you're living in Germany for 3 years and you don't speak the language, the people on the military base with you are your family. Like, it's multicultural. It's so diverse. And what we all had in common was that we had parents who were in the military. And, like, we became so close. And even though, like, we would have to move, you know, and we can relate to one another, what it's like to move a lot and to have to start over and to be nervous and scared. And, but then to, like, find that love and connection with all the people you're around and then to lose it again. Oh, like, just crazy first decade of my life. But I wouldn't have it any other way because it taught me a lot about diversity and about being open-minded. And most importantly, I do believe that's why I'm so passionate about intentional community, because I know what it feels like to feel connected and to feel just radiant love for the people around you, which fast forward about 10 years after all, you know, after all that ended, I ended up moving to Indiana and we stayed there for a whole decade and it was awful. But like, nothing against Indiana, but like everything that I liked about, you know, being a military and all brat and all of this got thrown out the window, and I got thrown right in to the suburb mainstream society. And it was like a culture shock because, yeah, I got thrown into public school and I adjusted like pretty well, I guess. But, you know, there's like this culture, at least in America, I don't know what it's like in Europe, where you like come home, put the garage door down, don't talk to your neighbors, and just like mind your own business. And it's like rugged individualism to a point that you're like kind of lonely and depressed. And like, I've lived next to you for like how many years and I don't know you. But no, I mean, in Indiana, the neighborhood I was in, it was like we, you know, we had friends and things like that. I'm not trying to put my childhood experience there down, but it was just a lot different. You know, I started to see more of what it's like with all the fast food chains and with mainstream culture obsessed with like materialism and consuming things. And my house is bigger than your house and all that weird stuff. I don't know if that happens everywhere in the world, but in America, there was kind of, or at least in Indiana, there was kind of that thing going on. And yeah, I mean, just this culture of like, bye, Felicia. Like, I don't want to talk to you. Get out of my face. Like, I'm doing my own thing. So like, it kind of led me to wonder, like, how did we get here as a species? Like, we had evolved for so many centuries to like live in tribe and have unique skill sets that we could offer the village. Like, I'm the bread maker. I'm the gardener. I'm this. I'm the nurse. I'm this. I'm that. And now it just seemed like we didn't know who made our food. We didn't know the, you know, just there wasn't that like sense of connection and closeness anymore. Everyone kind of, it seems nowadays too, we're getting, trying to get back to the way things used to be, but there's like a disconnect from the food you eat, who grows it, and just everything in between. And I think like a lot of the problems nowadays have really stemmed from depression and loneliness and that lack of connection to one another. So, you know, unfortunately then leading to addiction to your phone, addiction to substances, and this like downward vortex spiral of awfulness. So like, how do we overcome that? So basically when I was 17, I left the house and I was like, dear tight knit community life that I experienced the first 10 years of my life, I miss you. I want to come back to that. So like, how do I get back to the land? How do I get back to having a community where I know everyone's first name and we're really close? So I decided to leave Indiana. I was like a rebellious teenager. Like, I'm going. And I had 300 schools I could choose from. There's like a student exchange in college. They let you pay the same tuition as you would at the school, you know, in your state or whatever. So I was like feeling pretty excited about this opportunity. I looked all over the country, and Austin, Texas just really drew me in. Like, it was very, just reading and researching, very artsy, and the Edwards Aquifer. But what it really was, I think, that had me hooked on, yes, Texas, that's the place I'm going to go, was that spirit of connection here. Like, the Texans will wave their flag higher than the United States flag. And they're like, I'm a Texan. There's just like pride here that you don't get elsewhere. And I found that very interesting. But, you know, ultimately, I ended up moving to San Marcos, Texas. And for the first time in my entire life, I felt like I belonged and I felt home. And that like said a lot to me because I never had that feeling before where you're in a place and you just like fall in love with it and you finally feel like that's where you belong. And I feel that in Central Texas. Like, there's something really special here energetically. The water here, the, you know, spring-fed rivers. They say, San Marcos is like one of the longest perpetually inhabited places in all of North America. Like, that's for a reason. Like, it's special. It's a gem. And I'm going to talk later about the San Marcos River. I'm also going to talk about the electric grid. I know John brought that up. But anyway, I digress. So I really, really liked it here, and so I just stayed. And while I was here in Texas, in San Marcos, they had like the largest Young Americans for Liberty chapter in the country at that time. And this was like during the Ron Paul revolution. So I felt like I found that intentional community I was looking for. Like, I'd go to these meetups every Thursday, our Young Americans for Liberty chapter, and we'd have like 80 to 100 people at the meetings. So like, moving to Texas, you might think, oh, you're going to be all alone, you don't have friends. But I made friends like instantly once I started to go to Young Americans for Liberty, group meetings. And that's kind of how I got into all of this anarchist libertarian world, was really through that. And I really felt like I had found my tribe. Like, these people get it. Because you're learning about the two-party system and Republicans and Democrats. Like, I always was like a critical thinker, like, well, I'm not this or that. Like, what do you mean? I kind of like that. I kind of like this aspect. Like, can it be purple instead of red and blue? Like, come on. So anyway, I really, really felt like I found the people that I was meant to be around. And through that, this is when I had my light bulb moment. I learned about something called Paulville. This is also in Texas. It never ended up happening, unfortunately. But the idea was, what if we get a bunch of people together who all agree with Ron Paul's ideology, and we start our own city in West Texas? Yeehaw, let's go. But the thing is, like, no offense to West Texas, but there's not a whole lot going on there. And anyway, it ended up slipping through the cracks. But the seed was planted in my mind. And I knew in that moment that I wasn't meant to do public policy work. I wasn't meant to work on campaigns, which is basically what I was doing up until this point. I was meant to pursue a replicable model for eco-village development so that we could have micro, macro communities all across the world, do it in style, save money, have connection to our neighbors, have connection to the food that we eat, and do more with less, and living more in alignment with nature. So that is when I discovered the solution in my mind. But the thing is, like, the only thing I had ever grown before this point was, like, tomatoes in the summer. So I had a lot of learning to do. So I joined this nonprofit called the Center for Natural Living, and I would just start putting on Eco Village seminars and hoping that people would show up. And I moved out to a 50-acre property and learned a lot from my mentor, Erica, about permaculture. I had never even heard of permaculture until then. I think, I don't really remember when I discovered permaculture, but it was later after the libertarian ideas, but it all connected, because permanent culture, you have to have all of these elements, this holistic approach for all of these ideas to be implemented into the physical realm. So I just started doing things that I, you know, wanted to learn about, like building with cob, and I'd go to the farmers markets and, you know, try out all the different local vendors. And like, up until this point, I had never had a real carrot. Like, I think I was like 22 when I had my first bite of an actual carrot. Like, that wasn't, you know, those little baby carrots that they bleach bath or whatever. Like, that's all that I had had up until this point. When I actually had a real carrot, like with the little green stem thing on it still, and like there was like dirt on it and stuff, I felt like I had been lied to my entire life. And that's when I was like, okay, food is, this is whatever they're serving in Walmart and the other grocery stores is not even like food. Like, this is life changing. You know, I felt like in the Aladdin movie where they're like, a whole new world, you know, it's like, oh my God, there's a better way to do things. So whatever, I was just like, okay, I'm going to go put myself out there and start learning about these things. I went to South by Southwest and went to the first 3D printed home site, which is in Austin, Texas, and just started to learn about alternative living and, you know, tiny homes and growing your own food. And I went over to Community First. That's where that geodesic dome greenhouse is. That's a tiny home community that houses the formerly homeless, and they have jobs for them and opportunities. And there's a state-of-the-art woodworking set up on the community. There's like, and they make things in-house. It's so cool. Restaurants, a cafeteria, like, just visiting these places. This is when it all started to really become real to me. Because before this, I just had that, you know, utopia idea of like Paulville. But like, seeing this in person and experiencing it, and like, it just brings it, you know, it comes to you at a different, like, realistically, this, where the people are already doing it. We just need to like mobilize all the people, get the land, like, let's make this happen. So then I started to utilize the virtual world and like, where else can I visit? And I found that IC.org, the Foundation for Intentional Communities, they have already done all the work for us. How cool is that? They have a directory of all the intentional communities. Like, I mean, some intentional communities aren't on there because they haven't added themselves to the directory yet, but it literally will break down, like, are they accepting new members? Do they have dietary restrictions? Like, if you're a vegan, for instance, you know, a vegan community, clearly you're going to have values against, you know, people probably, I don't want to assume, but they probably wouldn't want like you to slaughter animals there, you know? So they just kind of line out all the important things, spirituality, all of these details that are like important to know if that's the community that you should join, but at the very least you can visit, but it doesn't stop there. Because intentional communities can be eco-villages, but eco-villages are also their own thing because they're more closely aligned with like actually having structures that are built that are like off the grid or, you know, not, they're like not built in the conventional traditional building method that would cause some sort of harm to the environment. Like they're more environmentally conscious. Let's just put it that way. So yeah, ecovillage.org, the Global Ecovillage Network is another online directory that exists. And they also, you know, both of these organizations put on workshops, events, all sorts of things. So that kind of got the gears turning for me. And I actually started visiting communities, Arco Santi in Arizona. I went to the Venus Project in Florida. Wow. So cool. Like the architecture, everything Jacques Fresco created, and like he put it into molds and ideas and books and all these things and resources. But like his vision, so cool for his, you know, futuristic cities and just amazing. So there's AgriHoods also, like the neighborhood I was explaining to you earlier that I helped with. There's AgriHoods now all over the place. So these are neighborhoods surrounding agriculture. So I visited one of the most famous, which is in Arizona, called Agritopia. And I mean, anyone can go check it out. It's so cool. It looks like a traditional housing development, but at its core is like a 12-acre farm. And it has a CSA, a community-supported agriculture program. There's a store where you can walk in and pick up what you want to buy and just check out on your own. Like they basically trust, you know, and there's that community element. So it's really a cool place to visit. So like after visiting some of these places, it got the gears turning for me. And I'm just thinking in my head, like, okay, you don't have to live this lifestyle full time. You can be a part of community living in an eco-village or an intentional community if you want to. But there's so many other ways to do it, like even joining the Freedom Cell Network, for instance, you know, and having that connection with folks online. Like you're still part of a community. So I put together the next few slides to kind of hodgepodge how you can combine both, because not everyone's ready. Like maybe they want to put their toes in the pool or the pond, but they don't want to like jump in quite yet. So here's some solutions I have, some ideas. If you are interested in this lifestyle and you want to kind of get started or even dive deeper. And wherever you are, just start. Like, you don't have to be a permaculture design certified, you know, like, just watch a documentary if that's all you can do right now. Go volunteer on a farm if that's all you can do right now. Go tour a hemp tiny home tomorrow in Kingsbury, Texas to, you know, feel inspired. There's all sorts of cool things happening already that are planned. You can piggyback on other projects and kind of learn from them. You can watch YouTube videos that even have tons of information about all of these ideas. And so there's like lots and lots of info out there already. And there's nothing holding you back from pursuing this lifestyle if you want to. In fact, when I started, I just went out and within like 1 week of looking, bought a RV, turned it into a glamper and lived in my little tiny home RV for a few years so that I could save up and kind of get in a good place financially and be more stable and to live on the land. You know, I didn't want to live in an apartment in downtown San Marcos anymore. I wanted to learn how to do gardening and stuff. Okay, so for virtual community, here's a few ideas. Freedomcells.org, you could do Telegram groups. We have a new membership community with livefree.academy if you want to join that. Haven Earth has a membership program. So there's all sorts of options if you want to connect with people and kind of get the ball rolling. And then, of course, social media. I mean, just posting that pictures that you're here, then your friends see it and they're like, what the heck is the Greater Reset? And it's about building community online as much as it is, you know, visiting these intentional communities in person. So of course, then there's physical communities like what we've been talking about. And I really want to emphasize, since I only have a few minutes left, the events, festivals, and conferences element. Because just like we're here right now, like, didn't these 5 days go by really fast? Like, wouldn't it be cool if we could live this lifestyle all the time? just like every day. But until then, here's some cool events that are happening and are coming up. So if you join our newsletter for Live Free Academy, John sends out lots of emails, but I promise they're relevant to all these topics. Obviously, I really like homesteading and permaculture and intentional community, but he also talks about entrepreneurship, which all of this is relevant, cryptocurrency, that sort of thing. Anyhow, in this same venue, May 18th through the 22nd, for 5 days, we'll be putting on the Exit and Build Land Summit. The first day and the last day will be actual property tours where we can go to these communities, check them out in person. And then we're going to have stellar talks for 3 days in between, May 19th, 20th, 21st. So join our newsletter for Live Free Academy, and we'll shoot over information with the speaker lineup and things after we've had a chance to catch our breath. Whew, because this event is amazing, but as you can probably understand, we've got some speakers lined up, but we still have some work to do for the Land Summit. But we'll have the website up with all those speakers, so be on the lookout for that probably in March or so. My friend Angel's here. She runs an incredible conference called Solarpunk Summit, and it's kind of like a festival hybrid. But anyway, I'm just throwing these out there so that you can see, like, it's not just the Greater Reset Movement. Like, there's tons of festivals, tons of events, and not all of them are like blatantly like screw the new world order. Like, in my opinion, if you're bringing new people to these ideas, the best way to do it is through art, it's through music, and through festivals like this, because ultimately, like, you're living what your philosophy is and showing people like it can be done. And so anyway, like, Solarpunk Summit is a really cool event. And we actually went there and filmed all the talks, and we'll be releasing those soon as well through Live Free Academy. Because they just held one in October, end of 2022. But the next one I should mention is October 12th through the 18th. And so Angel is here if you want to chat with her about that. Otherwise, the website, solarpunksummit.com. And, you know, just like this event is a hybrid model, I really do think that that's the way of the future. So can we live like this just all the time? Like, that would be so awesome. We went to Pork Fest, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and Bill was like, can we just stay? This was like 2 years ago. It's like, oh, yes, that would be great if we could. But, like, if we design our lives in such a way, we can. I love this meme. Not all women just want flowers. Some women want 40-acre off-grid homestead with adequate sun in a creek. And flowers. You can sell flowers, too. But that's the idea. Like, you know, shift your priorities. And like Brad's talk earlier, like, if you crunch the numbers and get creative, like, you can do this. And you might even save money. So especially if you're buying land collectively with a bunch of friends. Okay, so I think a lot of people are doing this already. I mean, as we've heard today, like, isn't everyone talking about buying land with friends and growing their own food and starting a homeschool co-op and having their co-working there? And I mean, doesn't it seem like everyone's talking about this right now? So, like, there's this concept called the 100th monkey effect. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you haven't. I'm running out of time. But basically, like, now that we've reached this precipice of, like, people wanting to do this, it's just, like, spreading like wildfire. So that being said, you know, everyone's vision of what utopia is different. So, like, to say one, like, everyone has a different perception of what that looks like. And some would even argue that utopia is not possible to build. But, like, we, as a civilization, like, what's the best way that we can interact with nature, jive with nature, and live in harmony with nature and our brothers and sisters? You know, like, what the heck? Why is there so much conflict? What's going on? Like, we could have abundance if we chose to, but it's all about designing it and being the architects of our future. So what is it going to take to make that happen? And I think that you should, you know, definitely find partners, because without a clear plan of action and people to help do it on your own, but it'll just take a lot longer. And it won't be as much fun. So, yes. So find partners. Like, it's go time. Let's do this. And that's what's so good at events like this, so we can find people to jam with. So I love this solarpunk concept. If you've never heard of it, it's a vision of the future that embodies the best of what humanity can achieve, a post-scarcity, post-hierarchy, horizontal, post-capitalistic, instead of top-down, I mean, world where humanity sees itself as part of nature and clean energy replaces fossil fuels. I get so much shit for saying net zero energy. They're like, that's what the globalists say. But what I mean by that is, like, how much money are you spending every month on electricity? Wouldn't it be cool if instead of your electricity bill, you were just paying for your solar panel loan, or better yet, if you could pay for it cash? And that's basically what John and I are doing right now. Instead of having to pay for gas in the Tesla, we just charge it up with our solar panels, and we have batteries to store the excess power. So just getting creative with like how we jam, and, you know, in turn, wouldn't it be great if it also benefited the environment? I mean, this is our home. Like, that should be the number one priority in everyone's lives, is being kind to Mother Earth and to one another. So, you know, there's a lot of great articles, and there's a few that show photos of what the solar punk vision looks like. Just check it out. Like, if you see how beautiful it is, like, I think if we can just focus and like even do a vision board, like putting pictures of what it is we want to create in front of our face every day, then it kind of forces you to think about it. And then sooner than later, it goes from your mind to paper, then it comes to reality. So that's the idea there. But, you know, it takes a lot of unlearning. And transformation is often more about unlearning than learning. And we have all learned habits, and, you know, we've been deciding things every day. Oh, I'm going to go eat at McDonald's or whatever. Like all these things that are not in alignment with our highest purpose. It's like voting with our dollar, changing our behavior, forming new healthy habits. And slowly but surely, we can make that incremental change. So time to get off the grid, snowpocalypse. We had a horrifying situation in Texas about 2 years ago. Literally the grid went down for like almost an entire week. But it just showed us how fragile the centralized systems are. And that is when John and I were like, okay, number one priority when we get our homestead, we're getting solar panels and batteries for storage, because never again, like never again. So just like, really prioritizing, you know, what if you turned your faucet on in the bathroom and no water came out? You know, we don't really think about these things because we're just like so fortunate every day to have these resources. But like having rainwater collection, having a well, having backup systems, like two is one is none philosophy. So manifest by writing down your goals. This is a list of all the things I was looking for when we were searching for our property. And like all of these came true except for I think one or two. So like unfortunately, we didn't get the ag exemption. But other than that, going down the list, like I wrote this out months before we bought our property. And I would write them down on other sheets of paper too, just to keep it in my mind and keep thinking about it. So if you're writing down your goals, you're going to have a much higher probability of actually achieving your goals. And yeah, these are just some of the other goals that we had. And I'll end with this. We would like to invite all of you to join us on a journey to acquire 100 plus acres. Build out an incredible model so that we can have residential mixed with commercial, educational campus, the whole shebang. Do it once, do it well, and then replicate the model all over the world. So that is the goal that I'm working on this year with a few other incredible partners. We started talking about this goal at XM Build Property Solutions in May of 2022. Since then, we haven't found the land, but we have found partners, and we have found the location that we want to do this. So just like identifying where to do this in Texas has been very interesting, because there's a lot of different options here. And we found through our partnership with River and Amani, an awesome city called Kingsbury. That area is designated as like a Liberty City. So I could go on and on about that too. And it's also on the San Marcos River. And it also happens to be where Solar Punk Summit is held. So see all these cool synergies? So anyway, you know, we have this vision to build these beautiful hemp homes, and to even have a factory where we can do the hemp blocks and the production and supply jobs and educational media and educational workshops. We want to build a convention center like this on the property. We want to hold events there. We want to bring people together to learn, to co-create, to cultivate deep relationships with the land and one another. And we invite all of you to do it with us. This is a master plan rendering of what it could look like. And if you're interested, you are welcome to visit our website to keep in touch with us. My time is up. Thank you so much for listening. And yes, here's my contact info. Thank you all so much.
All right, give it up for Rebecca Bush.
Are you sick of being told you will own nothing and be happy?
Are you sick of being told how to live your life by the mainstream media?
Exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you exhausted with the truth community, focusing only on the problems?
Are you ready to do something about it?
Let's take action together. Join the Freedom Cell Network in January 2023 as we return with the Greater Reset for co-creation.
The Greater Reset is a five-day in-person and online gathering where solutions-focused speakers and organizations share practical steps for individual and collective liberation.
This year, we'll even hear experiences from real communities on the ground across multiple continents.
The Greater Reset 4 will focus on activating five focus areas over 5 days.
January 18th, liberate your mind, body, and soul.
January 19th, permaculture and food independence.
January 20th, agorism and parallel networks.
January 21st, take back our tech.
January 22nd, building free and conscious communities.
This is our time to co-create the world we want for 2030 and beyond.
Join us as we lay the foundation for the next stage of a free humanity.
Join us from January 18th to the 22nd, 2023, as we gather online, in person in Central Texas and Morelia, Mexico.
Join us for the Greater Reset 4, co-creation.
View the full speakers list and organize your local activation hub at thegreaterreset.org.